Thursday. Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be leading you into Padre baseball at 1 o'clock. But joining me in studio, and very excited about having him in studio, he's a great guy, he's a friend, he's a member of the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group, of course, former longtime NFL executive, very influential in what the Super Bowl is today, and former executive vice president and CEO of our San Diego Chargers, Jim Steig, joins us on the Mighty 1090. And I got to ask you right off the bat, you know, I hear you on the radio, I read articles, I read a ton of articles yesterday in the Union Tribune about, you know, what's going on with the, they call it CSAG now. When you got on, when you were asked to be on this committee, did you have any idea the number of hours you and this group were going to be putting in?
I don't think so. I think when we went at it, you know, I thought this was a great thing to get done, to get accomplished. The good news is I'm in between kind of gigs right now, so I'd be able to put a lot of time in. But if I hadn't had that, I would have really had a hard time. I mean, this sometimes is 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week if you get there. And because I've kind of taken this on, I feel it's very important to talk to everybody you can talk to. If somebody wants a meeting, then we'll meet, you know, and we'll try to get – because you never know when that nugget of an idea that you get from somebody can germinate into something that's really positive.
You know, Jim, I don't know all the people on there. I know of them. I've read their bios. Really a unique group of people that were chosen for this.
Yeah, I think the mayor did a great job of reaching out to people that they're involved in the community. They're successful in their own jobs. They're self-made people that have really accomplished something in their careers. And, you know, they're up for a challenge. They've always been that way their entire life and what they've done in their career. You know, I've really enjoyed being with them. Now, probably half of them I knew to some degree. You know, some of them very casually and some of them knew, you know, like Jesse Knight I knew really well. But some of the other people I didn't know that well. And I really have enjoyed getting to know them. But I've also it's interesting because as we've done meetings and I think everybody's gone kind of their own area of expertise. And they're all type A personalities, so they're not sitting around saying, "Please assign me to this job." They're all out going to do it, and so I know we're all reaching out to each other, saying, "Okay, well, I've got a meeting with so anybody wants to come, you know, or invited to come, or I'll meet it myself." And I think we've had a whole bunch of people that have been. I had a meeting last week that I got invited by Mary Wyden on the committee, which had that, and Jesse Knight was there also with the New School of Architecture. And I wanted to just hear what was going on. I came out of that two-hour meeting with a whole new vision of what this could be. I mean, it was basically talking about Mission Valley and what Mission Valley could become if this is done properly and can really help, you know, revitalize and reconnect everything in Mission Valley from the Qualcomm site all the way down to, you know, Fashion Valley. You know, I had a great meeting a couple of weeks ago with the San Diego River Foundation, which I went into thinking, okay, they're going to have a – it was fantastic because they've got a vision of how they could make their project that they want to do, that mile of river to the south of the Qualcomm site, become to life. You know, right now it's just kind of in trouble, and they could bring it all to life and make it as part of this, and they want to create, you know, 20 acres or so of parkland around that because there's no parks in that area. So it's been very, very good. People have brought me into meetings – that I wouldn't have know those people from, and hopefully I brought them in the meetings where there's some people that I know that they don't know, and we've shared information, and we get together again tomorrow at 4:30, and we'll sit down and everybody will kind of give a debrief of all the different meetings they've had, and then figure out where we go from here.
Jim Steig joining us in studio. Jim, I know last week the group met with the city council, and from everything I read and heard and saw in the news, it went very well. Now, you're talking about meeting with the people from the river. Is everybody on the committee, are they kind of given, I don't want to say marching orders because you guys are all volunteers, but is everybody kind of given a specific, hey, we want you to meet with these people and we want you to meet with those people? How does that go?
Well, I think a lot of it is based, you know, Adam's certainly leading the charge and making sure, you know, everybody's doing, going off to the right groups. And I think we're all communicating through him. You know, I've got a contact here. You know, I met with the hotels because I've, in my past life with the NFL, I spent a lot of time with the hoteliers. So last week I met with the Mission Valley Hotels, and then I met kind of with the executive council of the Hotel Association with them to talk through and let them know everything that was going on and got their input, which was very enlightening because it wasn't necessarily what has been reflected publicly in a lot of ways. So it's been, I think we've all, you know, we kind of funnel, do you want to come be part of this? If you can't make it, fine, then I'll do it. And then, you know, like I said, like happened with the new school architecture, you know, Mary sent out a note, anybody wants to come? And I said, I'm going. You know, and I spent 2 hours there. And so I didn't know the people at the San Diego River Foundation. I went to that meeting. And so I think everybody's kind of either joined in different places where they've gone or gone on their own. So, but everybody's got a different area of expertise. I mean, Doug Barnhart, who I love, you know, very, very smart man, you know, in the construction business. I sit down and he'll pull out a piece of paper and he literally can write down, because he's been in this, he's got this down almost to the penny about how much it's going to cost to get done. So, I mean, it's, they're all pretty smart.
Okay, now you were with the Chargers. Correct me if I'm wrong. You were with the Chargers when this was proposed before at Mission Valley, correct?
Yeah, when I was originally brought here, I was hired here in November of 2004, and I was hired as EVP, you know, Chief Operating Officer, and as President of the Stadium Corporation, because Dean thought at that moment in time that it was imminent. That was the proposal, which had to do with, which I thought was brilliant at the time, which had to do to developing the Qualcomm site, being able to pay for it basically with private financing all the way through it by doing the development there. Obviously, it ran into problems, not the least of which was, you know, Gary's opposition to it and the threat that he was going to sue. And then, of course, the other things that happened, you know, the Chargers, got to remember, politically at that point in time, were kind of radioactive because coming off of the ticket guarantee, you know, that existed, nobody wanted politically to kind of be associated with what was going on. So city council was kind of
leery,
keeping their hands off them. So it died, and it also died because I think when we got down to the number crunching, we found that the cost per square foot that it was going to be to build the housing meant that you probably had to add more units, which meant the density was going to be too great to support down there. So, and then the economy hit in 2007, so over that period of time. So, yeah, I was very involved. I was, if Mark was not out, you know, speaking to people, I was out speaking to people.
Okay, that plan there, and obviously 10 years later, it costs more. What is going to change with this plan in Mission Valley opposed to the one that was looked at 10 years ago?
Well, I think you've got a couple things. A, it's going to cost more to start out.
Right.
But I think you've gone from the original G3 funding that the league had. The way that was originally laid out was $100 million per team, but it was designed for Dallas, Chicago, New York, the big boys. It wasn't designed for the little guys like San Diego. That code was broken by Indianapolis when they got money out of it. And now they've turned around and done G4. And so now it's everybody kind of plays into that. So the amount of money you can get out of the league might be as much as $200 million. The team can make a contribution. Obviously, they get it back from revenues they generate in the stadium. And, you know, Dean has said and Mark has said that, you know, that's $200 million at least that they're into. So that's a third of the way there potentially on what the outside cost of what this could be. I think you're then looking at all these other revenue streams, you know, whether that's PSLs, whether that's bonding rent payments, whether that's contributions from the other tenants. If it's, you know, if you do development there, can you bond the property taxes that you'd make off of that? You know, I all the way down to the simplest of things and looking here in the studio, you can play under that is, can you sell off the seats at Qualcomm Stadium, you know, to people that want to have one because they remember sitting and watching Tony Gwynn go 4 for 5 or, you know.
That's a great point.
You know, so I think there's people that can do that, or you could sell bricks and, you know, I think there's ways to cobble together the financing. It's a lot more expensive. It's greater risk. The cost of construction of these things have gone up. You know, you kind of look at it in 10 years, it's almost tripled. So, I mean, it's certainly there that it's going to cost to get things done. But I think I've talked to a couple of people with financing plans themselves, and I think that came out over the weekend, as you might have seen, that the city's out with an RFP now to get an investment banking firm involved. Doubt if it'll be Goldman Sachs, but you know, there are all sorts of other guys out there that do this type of business that I think might be able to come on board to help accomplish it.
What's realistic in the PSLs, you think, in this market?
I think the number's like 100 million or 125. I mean, it's not the 550 or 650 or whatever happened in Santa Clara, but when you look at it, and I'm a bad example because, you know, I'm sports nut and I'm, you know, that better than anybody,
right?
But I own four season tickets to the New York Giants. I mean, I've owned them since the 70s. So when the PSLs came out, I bought four PSLs. And I've got two PSLs that cost $1,500 a pop and two that cost $3,500 a pop. The two to the 35 are in the mezzanine and the 1,500 are in the upper deck. But I think that the number we can get to, if you were to say to me that you could get an average of $3,000 per person for PSL here, I think that from what we heard out of that, the fan form we had, I think that might be reasonable. And that's an average. That means there might be some that are 1,000, there might be some that are 7,000. But 40,000 people buying 3,000, that's 120 million.
Jim Stieg joining me in studio, member of the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group. Jim, explain PSLs for people that, you know, they think, well, you buy your tickets, but then you got to throw on this other charge so I can have the seats that I want. What do you get for a PSL?
Well, there's all sorts of benefits that you can get for that. You know, it's basically you're buying it, it all started in Carolina. When Carolina built their stadium, it was funded solely through the personal seat license. There was a guy there that came up with the concept, and they raised all their money to build their stadium off everybody invested. It was a 20-year PSL, which is now coming up, because it's hard to believe they've been in the league for 20 years.
I know it.
But it's now coming due again if they're going to go through it. And they're going through the process of trying to raise the PSLs again for a second time so that they can do renovations on the stadium again. But it basically is a license to that seat. That is your seat. It's your first option for all NFL games. Now, it can also be potentially extended, depending on what it is, to other events. It could be a first option to other events. It could be a first option to other things that go on in the stadium in some way, shape, or form. But you can also get other benefits out of that program, you know, whether that's preferred access. You know, right now, if you go to a concert, everybody wants to be part of a presale. You know, it's those type of benefits that you can give people to get them done. Now, in the case of Santa Clara, they, you know, Silicon Valley is a little different than here, but they sold $650 million worth of those, which basically helped pay for most of their stadium. So, but I think each one of these is different. But I look at that as one option, as one nugget, you know, to put together to try to build this house.
You know, I know there's still a few people out there chirping about, you know, let's get that stadium downtown. And, you know, you guys, you know, made the recommendation to the mayor, and that's where it's at right now. JMI, they seem to have a pretty good plan. It appeared to be a pretty good plan, I guess, if you were able to work it downtown. Will JMI, will they still be involved in any way, shape, or form going forward at the Qualcomm site?
Well, I know John Kratzer was on with Scott, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And John, totally respect him. He's brilliant. And Steve Peace. And I think their point, they have told the mayor up front. They actually went in and met the mayor the day before we made the announcement. The mayor told them what we were going to do. And they said that they're behind this. They're going to help any way, shape, or form. They'll support anyway, just like they had done downtown. They'll support trying to put together the documentation and the right consultants and people like that to help make this happen, which I thought was beyond classy to get done. Obviously, they were disappointed that that project didn't work, but they, you know, they're San Diegans. They want to make this thing happen for the best of San Diego.
You know, it seems like, you know, in the prior, and you were on, I don't want to say the other side, because we're all kind of on the same side. We want to see a new stadium here,
yep.
However it gets done. But you were employed by the Chargers when there were a variety of different plans. We've heard from Mark Fabiani on numerous occasions there were a total of 9 different plans, and who knows, there may have been 3 or 4 more that he didn't even bring up. But it seems like this time, everybody that's involved, and it starts with the mayor, really, everybody's really trying to pull the rope in the right direction to get this thing done. Where before, everybody was, you know, fracturing off to different areas and different agendas.
Yeah, I said, I think the biggest thing that always had to do with this was political will. And Kevin has totally shown, I mean, when he called me the first time to talk about this, you know, God, how long ago, three months ago or something like that?
Might have been right after I went on the air and started saying how Jim Stieg had to be on the committee. I did that for about 3 straight days.
See, I've got you to blame on this. Now I'm going to make you write the check now. But you got from the feeling from him that this was important to him. He knew that this was something he had to get done. It was for the greater good of the community. And, you know, and I've known Jerry Sanders for 25 years. He was the captain in the police department that ran Qualcomm Stadium for Super Bowl 22. So I've known him for a long time, and I know he wanted to get it done, but he just didn't feel that the time was right. on everything to make that come together. But this is the right time. This is the right place. It's our best time. It's our best opportunity. It may be our last opportunity to try to get this done. And there was a friend of mine that once said, Leonard Levy, who probably Leonard Levy was the guy in Tampa.
Another name.
Yeah, he got the Bucks to Tampa. And immediately when he walked out of that meeting in 74 and they got the Bucks, he turned around to Don Weiss and NFL staff and says, now when do we get a Super Bowl? And, of course, Don said, when you get a hotel. But the minute he broke ground on the hotel, he knocked on the door and said, now I'm going to get the Super Bowl. But he was in one of those debates with one of those economists who pop up every once in a while as experts. And the guy went on for 15 or 20 minutes about, you know, the Super Bowl has no value and the team's got no value and all that sort of stuff. Turned to Leonard and Leonard said, I can't debate all that stuff with you. All I know is St. Louis, Baltimore, Houston, Cleveland. They paid through the nose to get their team back. I don't want to learn that lesson. So I think that's the thing we've all got to figure out is that all those cities lost them, got them back, cost them more to get them. This is our opportunity to, and I think we're unified in trying to get them. The biggest thing we've got to show, I think, to the league and to the Chargers is that as a community, we are unified. I mean, to your point that you said, John, is that we all want to get this. The bottom line is we all want to get a stadium done. We all want to get that done. We not only want to get it done for the Chargers, we want to get it done for the Aztecs, we want to get it for the Bulls. We want
for
to
the
get
city it, of San Diego.
Yeah, we want to get it done for the guy. You know, One Direction is coming to Qualcomm this summer. I'll guarantee you that 90% of the people going to that concert have never stepped foot in Qualcomm. You know, but this is about 1.5 million, 2 million people going through the turnstiles of a stadium to do whatever their event is that gives them their memory. And it may not be football. It may be soccer. It may be, you know, run through the list.
It has to be a civic treasure, the stadium, for people that are outside of sports. And, you know, that's the one thing I know I've tried to tell people. It's more than just about the San Diego Chargers 8 to 12 games a year and the Aztecs and the two bowl games. I mean, you're a big proponent. And we've talked a lot. I mean, right now there's over 80 million, it's probably closer to 100 million that needs to be done just to kind of, you know, on upkeep of Qualcomm Stadium right now. And that's a conservative number, I think. But there needs to be somebody when this new stadium is built, and I got confidence it will be built, that is on the phone morning, noon, or night trying to bring other events to San Diego. Because let's face it, this is a destination city.
Well, and we don't get anything. We really don't get. I mean, we got One Direction coming in. You got this, I guess we got the Stones coming to Petco or something like that. But we really, if you look over the last 10 years, we had McCartney, we had the Stones once before or something like that. But we really haven't had any of those things. I think we've got to think about that way and all those things that can be done with that. And you know, I know one of your loves is we want the college football championship game. There's no doubt if we get a new stadium, you're going to get that. You're going to get in some sort of deal to get a Super Bowl, you know, and those things that mean something to you. But more than that, it's given that experience. I guess I look at this and the Chargers and the stadium are an economic engine that we've got here. And if we lose that economic engine, it's going to affect everybody. I mean, it may affect you. You know, and everybody. If we lose the Chargers, you know, the revenues of the media goes down.
I'll have to go out and start hitting ground balls again to somebody.
If you can hit them to me, I used to love that. Just pitch to me, Coach. I just want to learn hitting from you.
Hey, we'll throw them right down the middle. I'll look where your swing is. I'll make sure you're making good contact, build your confidence.
I will tell you this. I know you'll find this hard to believe. I led the over 30 league in New Jersey in hitting one year, batting about .485.
And I have a feeling you didn't get too many leg hits.
No. And I didn't get many triples either, I'll guarantee that.
Hey, we're going to take a quick time. We're going to come back another segment with Jim Stieg, nice enough to stop by today and share his thoughts on kind of where things are headed right now. We're going to get into the viable financial plan next right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090. Well, it's been a great offseason for the San Diego Padres. High expectations for 2015. You can join the Mighty 1090 and the 2015 Padres at FanFest. Padres FanFest 2015. FanFest is April 4th. Gates opening at 9 a.m. You can meet some of the Padres' new superstars, Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, just to name a couple. You can stick around for the Padres' 2 p.m. exhibition matchup against the Mexico City Red Devils. You can check out more information at themighty1090.com. You going to be at that exhibition?
No, I'm not, but it might be a good idea to think about. I hadn't thought about it.
That'll be one of the few games you miss this year. Jim Steig joining us in studio, a big baseball fan. You actually owned a baseball team once upon a time, didn't you?
For a very brief moment in time. I owned a team with the Catskill Cougars in the Northern League.
Really?
Yeah, it was very short period of time. I wanted to be able to move them to Bergen County, New Jersey, and the league didn't want me to.
So you sold them.
I got rid of it, yeah, real quick.
All right. Hey, Jim is in, of course. Jim, one of the members of the nine-member appointed panel by Mayor Faulkner on the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group, longtime NFL executive. And I got to chuckle a little bit. You missed being at the owner's meeting today?
Boy, not at all. I'll tell you this. This is a great thing about the Arizona Biltmore. The last proposal ever made by George Halas was made at the Arizona Biltmore.
Is that right?
And I was sitting in the meeting and I cringed because he stood up and says, I move that we come back to this place in 3 years. And I was in charge of booking all that. And I'm going, I just lost all my leverage to negotiate room rates. But obviously he went back with that hotel to the Wrigley's because that's the old Wrigley, the Wrigley Mansion's there. And the Wrigley's were the ones that ran the Arizona Biltmore.
Hey, Jim said he'll take a few phone calls this afternoon. You want to chime in? He'll stay here for another segment here. We're going to blow out the update at the bottom of the hour. San Diego, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. Coming up top of the hour, Scott and BR will be with you from 3 until 6. Let's go out to Poway. Donnie, welcome to the Mighty 1090. Say hello to Big Jim Steig, my friend.
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing great, Donnie. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I had a question for you. When you start speaking about this PSL and how that works and you get to pick your spot, how much money do you think you could get out of the vendors? Because they make a lot of money. And give them a 20-year contract on spot. When the contract comes up, you hit them up with another PSL.
Yeah, I think more than the PSL side of that, you got people like the concessionaire that's going to get the contract. We'll have to make a capital investment in the stadium. And that number could be anywhere from $15 to $25 million. So the same thing can also happen potentially with the parking vendor and people like that. You're going to ask some of them for upfront investments. I mean the vendor that just signed for the concessions, Delaware North, at Qualcomm right now, I think put $3 or $4 million into it now, which didn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's neither here nor there, but they put that up because they got a contract for the next 5 years.
Now, we were talking earlier about the PSLs, and you were saying, what you thought, could garner money here in San Diego. How about naming rights of a stadium? That's really varied, and not only is it varied in dollars, it's also varied on who actually gets what percent of the naming rights.
Well, yeah, and Mark Fabiani made it clear to our group that the Chargers believe that money is theirs, although he left a little opening in it and that he said that maybe that their share of that is theirs, meaning that if they drew 700,000 people and the place drew, 1.4 million, that they get 50% of it or something like that. So I think that's something to be discussed. But, yeah, naming rights are an important component. But I think the one thing we've got to do in this is we understand that the Chargers have to be able to compete and have to be able to make money off the facility. So that's the balancing act between everything that they've got and they get and how you make sure that it's a fair deal for the city. But you're not going to move into a new stadium just to move in a new stadium and then watch your revenues go down.
Well, let me ask you this, and I don't know if you know the number. I've heard anywhere from between 27 and 40 million that the Chargers made after everything was paid for last year. Do you know the figure?
I don't know the figure, but I'll tell you it's a lot less than that. It was seven to low eight figures, when I was there. So it wasn't a lot of, and think of where they are. They're only, probably their revenues are probably only $250 million or something like that. And you start right off the bat that $143 million goes to player salaries. And last year they were paying two general managers and two coaches and, two head coaches, right?
That was their choice. Let's get out to Rancher Bernardo. Ray, you're next up with Coach John Quintero. Say hello to Jim Steig from the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Doing great.
I just have a question. I have club seats at the stadium. I've had them for 8 years now. And, I'm really not interested in paying a PSL. I spend $4,500 a year just for the tickets and parking. And I don't know what the club seat. What would be the club seat level for the PSL? You know, because it's got to be $8,000 or $10,000.
Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I don't think it's been discussed. I think it's just one of those options that's got to be out there to look at as to what the total amount of money that you can raise off it is going to be. And I think it's going to vary by, if it's done, it's going to be varied by location. What you've got, I said earlier, I think my PSLs that I've got with the Giants, I've got two at 1500 and two at like 3500. So they're in varying degrees in different places.
Yeah, I know, but you said yours were up in the upper deck in the mezzanine, but the club's right. Even more money than that.
Yeah, well, it's New York, too. And this
Right. But I'm in San Diego, you know, I'm a nurse and my wife works, but, you know, now they just lifted all the blackouts. So, I mean, I enjoy going to the games, but, you know, am I going to spend $15,000 a year to go see the Chargers?
No,
I
mean,
I don't think I'll do that.
Remember, the PSL, the way it's done is it's a one-time charge. It's not an annual fee that you have. So, and it can be done. Some teams do it in some way, shape, or form that it's paid off over time or whatever it is, but it's a one-time fee that probably gets you the right to that seat for 10 to 15 to 20 years.
Hey, Ray, thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Take care. Interesting, because here in San Diego, people aren't used to these PSLs like they are in some of the other venues around the league.
Yeah, I know it was tried with the Padres and with not great success. But I think this is one thing we got to look at that we've all got. I think the people that are using the facility are going to be the ones that are going to have to pay for some significant portion of it. And that's one way you can do that.
Well, and we had a phone caller call in before you came in, and I thought he brought up a great point. He'd been a season ticket holder since the LA Chargers. And he's been down here, Balboa Stadium, Qualcomm Stadium. How do you go back to that fan that may have 2 to 4 tickets and expect them to pay for a PSL?
Well, I think the big thing is, John, is as long as we're not in the situation here, let's face it, if the Chargers move to L.A., the number's going to be significantly higher than what this is. But I think what you've got is if you're in a situation here where you're not going to be able to get tax dollars. I mean, I think that's a decision that everybody understands, that to get a 67% vote here is an impossibility and is not something that's there. Then you've got to come up ways that the users of the facility are going to have to foot part of the bill to make the thing happen. And I think that's just something we are all going to have to accept. If we don't do that, the money's not magically going to show up from some other place. That's going to have to take place. Now, I'm not saying different, like I said, different than Santa Clara, where it was $650 million. You're looking at $100 million or something like that to do here. But it has to be an education process out there so everybody understands what you get and what the benefits are.
You know, and I got to say this, Jim, because I know you, and you know, I trust you, and I'm glad you're on this committee. But for you fans out there, the one thing about Jim Steig, and I say this on a personal level, a lot of times when you meet people that have been executives like in the NFL or Major League Baseball, or they've been involved with the ownerships of ball clubs, they talk a big game about caring about the fans. But even when you were with the Chargers, I mean, you always had something up your sleeve to try to benefit the fans. And a lot of people in your walk of life, you know, they talk a good game, but they don't walk that line. And you've always walked that line to you almost make decisions like you – are a fan, which you are.
Well, I am. But thanks, John. I appreciate you saying that, because I've always looked at this thing that, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan, you know, and I'm you know, in New York, you know, I've spent my time at Shea, at Giant Stadium or whatever it is with my kids. And, you know, I've always looked at things sitting in the stands as what a fan would want and what they want to get out of that and the experience they've got. I know I once got in trouble in the league office. Which I did occasionally.
Yeah, I would imagine you probably would, because a lot of people in those big-time NFL executive offices, I would imagine they don't probably think along the lines of you.
We got one. I remember we had an off-site meeting, which we only had a few of those under Tagliabue, and you know, it's the top 15 or 16 of us sitting around, and we spent all day giving our business plans or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, Paul goes around the room and he says, you know, what do you think the biggest problems are? You know, that we face are, you know, and the guy in charge of broadcasting says, you know, we'll never renew our contracts, or guy in charge of labor says, you know, we'll never make a deal with players. So it got to me, and I said, we got a real problem. We're members of the box suite generation. You know, all of us go to games, go to reserve parking space, get an elevator, go upstairs, take our coat off, hang it up, get handed a bottomless bowl of shrimp, sit down and watch the game, and then leave in the fourth quarter before everybody else. We don't know what it's like to be part of the 65,000 that are sitting out in the stands.
Eating a hot dog and drinking
a
beer.
And knowing what the line is in the concession stand and getting beer spilled on you or hearing somebody cuss behind you when you've got your eight-year-old with you. So I think that that's really an important element of this, that this is about – that's why to me, growing up with my son and me growing up with my father going to ball games was such an important part of that. And those memories – I'm sure I haven't asked my son lately, but, I mean, I'm sure those memories are ingrained in his mind. And I think, to me, it is about being a fan because that's what it's all about. I mean, it's – we're in the entertainment business. We're not in the – we're not doing rocket science right now. We're getting people to have an escape, to have a good time, to be able to get away. And what's the worst thing that happens? Your team loses. You still go home and you still got your family and, you know, food's still on the table.
Hey, we're going to take a couple of more phone calls. Scott and BR are going to be in here shortly with a crossover. Jim Stieg from the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group, longtime NFL executive and former executive with the San Diego Chargers, in studio taking phone calls. Jim in Oceanside, welcome to the Mighty 1090. Great to have you along, and say hello to Jim Stieg. Jim.
Good afternoon, Mr. Stieg. I think this is one of those rare opportunities where we have the right man in the right job at the right time.
Well, I hope so, but I worry about that every night when I go to bed. Hopefully I can help get this done.
I think you're perfectly on tune to what needs to be done. Yeah, seeing as it's kind of the season for silly suggestions of what to do with that stadium, I don't know if you guys remember years ago at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, IMSA, I-M-S-A, the Sports Racing Association, GTP, those series had occasional stops there. And they built a track that went right down the main walkway there in Del Mar. And it was really exciting. It was very successful. But the area eventually banned it because of the noise. Now, there's 166 acres at that site down there, and they currently run slalom courses on, you know, weekends when there's no one there. The basics for that kind of car competition and activity is already going on there. Has anybody given that any thought?
Well, I think the one thing that we all realize is the number of events that have been held in the stadium are limited and needs to be looked at everything. And you've got the parking lot. I mean, I just came – the last two events I worked on, I guess I'm the winter ban in Los Angeles, having just come off of working an event with Sean White where we created a 160-foot-high, you know, snowboard skiing ramp outside of the Rose Bowl. And then last year I helped plan the hockey game that was inside Dodger Stadium. So it gives you an idea that with your imagination you can come up with things. You might have seen, I saw on Twitter today, and I should say this, and Coach is going to get mad at me, since I'm a Duke fan, but I watched that they're getting ready in Houston because the Houston Rodeo just closed. And they're showing all the dirt they're taking out of there because they've got the regionals this week. So, I mean, yeah, I think the imagination runs wild on what you could potentially do. And I think those type of events, I mean, I was in the Meadowlands when they did the IndyCar around the Meadowlands too. So I think those possibilities are there. And we just have to have our imagination to create events and create more people and more fans. And maybe that's an interest that somebody's got that's not football.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. You know, Jim, you mentioned Duke. We all have certain things in our life that we have to overcome. Boy, Okafor, how good is he?
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, I think he will be the college basketball player of the year. Let's keep motoring on. A lot of people wanting to visit with Jim Stieg. And, Jim, I appreciate you taking these phone calls this afternoon as well. Tim and Poway, you're next up with Coach John Quintero. Say hello to Big Jim Stieg.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing great.
Hey, I got a couple proposals for possibly generating an extra revenue for the stadium. Coach, you're probably familiar with the Padres when they built Petco. They have that one plaza, well, it's now Bud Selig Plaza, where they sold bricks.
Right.
People got to buy bricks, get to put your name on it and stuff like that. And I'm thinking with the size of the football stadium, if we could sell bricks for $100 a piece, which I think people would do, be able to put their name on the new stadium, stuff like that, and say they were part of the community and helped build the stadium, you know, we could put bricks around the whole walkway, the outside of that stadium. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of bricks could we put out there and sell for $100 a piece? How much money would that bring in?
Well, I think that's a great idea because I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Yeah,
actually.
And I'm a bad example because I have a brick at Fenway Park and I also have a brick at the Rose Bowl. I've invested in that. But I tell you, that to me is one of the ways to generate some money.
And that's a fun way to do it for the fans. I mean, our family, we spent $300 and had a brick out by Tony's statue mm-hmm. out there in right field.
Yeah, I think, and you get a replica of it at
right.
home sitting there, and you're the only person that ever knows where your brick is. Let's put
yeah.
it that way.
I look at my brick every day.
Yeah, so I think there's all sorts of things like that. Like we talked about, could you sell off the seats to Qualcomm? The people that would want to have them in their backyard. Yeah, I've got seats in my backyard. My wife kind of hates me for that, but that's a story for another time. But I think that there's all those different ideas that can generate some degree of money to help solve this. And I think the fans should participate. And there should be like a wall of fame or a wall of whatever it is that's there that recognize the people that have contributed and the public who's participated in this type of stuff. And it's going to be a citizens ballpark. I mean, one of the great things I think that Larry Lucchino did was when they did their campaign that was all about this is more than a ballpark. And that same thing's got to exist here. This is more than a Charger stadium. This is more than just a stadium sitting in Mission Valley. It's about Mission Valley. So I think it's expanding it so that everybody gets a benefit out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Tim, and I think that's something that'll definitely be looked into. Let's duck in one more call here. Greg in downtown, you're next up on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon. Actually, I'm in San Ysidro, not downtown. But I must say, your guest was a voice of reason throughout these last couple of months, and it's always been a real pleasure to hear him speak in moderate tones, and I thank him for that, for keeping things on an even keel.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I could never have imagined how a stadium for football could have ever been built downtown. An arena for basketball, maybe. Another, sports arena type deal. But, I mean, there just is not the freeway access. Everyone will be basically coming from the north and getting off at the same exit and afterwards heading back to the north. I mean, there are, maybe Chula Vista, but not, 95% of the traffic would be coming from the north, and parking would be so scattered that people would be walking around in a daze trying to remember where they parked downtown.
Well, I think those are part of the things when we sat down as a group and had the unanimous decision to go to Mission Valley that we took into account and trying to figure out whether those were resolvable or non-resolvable problems. And I agree with you totally because I can remember going to a Padres opening day one time and it taking me, I think, an hour to get from the 5 to my parking spot through downtown. And that, it was a midday game and that type of stuff. So, I think it's a struggle. Listen, the great thing we've got at Mission Valley, you've got the 8, the 15, and you've got a trolley right now. And all those things can be expanded to help you get better. So at least you've got those things as access there.
Hey, Greg, thank you very much for the phone call. Now, he mentioned an arena. What about an arena downtown?
He's a good one. Maybe scoop my – no, I had a great breakfast the other day with Ernie Hahn, talking about the arena and some ideas. So it's percolating somewhere in my head. So.
Good. I like percolation. I like that percolation. I think an arena downtown would be really cool. I for one, and you know this, I've always thought Qualcomm was the best site. Even before, several months ago when you and I were eating mm-hmm. lunch, we talked about this. Long before the mayor gave you a phone call. Jim, I'm going to let you get out of here. Thank you so much. And we'll do this again. It worked out perfect sitting in for
Absolutely.
Darren to be able to have you in here during the middle of the afternoon. And, we're just waiting for that viable financial plan now.
You got it. That's the work. Somebody's got to pull it off. So we'll find out whether we're up to it or not. I think we are.
There you go. Thanks to Jim Steele.